covered it again and all his goodness shown us through the day. And really the whole weekend, I told Brother Jerry, I've enjoyed all the weekend. It's been a long, amen. That old song said it's been a long journey, but I've been blessed. And just since Friday, it has been a long journey, but I'm thankful. Amen. We're still standing. I'm thankful we still get to preach tonight and excited about the blessings of the Lord. Wish you'd stand with us if you're willing and able. And we want to look at this. We begun on last week a series of thoughts out of Nehemiah chapter number 3. And we're dealing with the thought of the gateways to the presence of God. The gateways to the presence of God. And we want to read tonight verses 3, 4, and 5. And don't you laugh at me trying to pronounce these Hebrew names unless you can do better than I can up here and pronounce them in front of everybody else. But we're going to look at some of these verses and see if the Lord will help us tonight. Verse number 3. But the fish gate did the sons of Hasaniah build, who also laid the beams thereof, set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. Next unto them repaired Meremoth, the son of Uriah, the son of Koz. Next unto them repaired Meshulam, the son of Berechiah, the son of Meshezabeel. Amen. And the son, next unto them repaired Zadok, the son of Baana. Next unto them, the Tekoites repaired, but their nobles put not their necks to the work of the Lord. Amen. You can be seated this evening. Let's pray together. John, you keep my volume about right there, maybe just a little more right down here. All right. Heavenly Father, thank you this evening for your goodness and for your grace. We come, Lord, this evening, Lord, we would say tonight that, Lord, we are weak, but thou art strong. Lord, we come to you confessing that, Lord, we can't, but that there's nothing our God can't do. Lord, I'm thankful this evening that, Lord, you are a God who is able tonight. And so, Lord, we rest in that and ask you to touch our voice, touch our mind, our heart, the message that we'll preach this evening. Lord, I pray that you get honor and glory. Lord, in the weakness of our flesh, using us for the honor and the glory of God. Pray for those that are listening, Lord, especially the church tonight. Lord, as we endeavor this evening to do the work of God, Lord, what an important step, Lord, these verses are going to provide to us. Lord, I pray that we'd get a hold of the burden of the Spirit of God upon us tonight. Lord, may our lives be challenged. May they be changed for the glory of our Heavenly Father. I pray tonight, Lord, our son, Lord, in this place that are lost, Lord, I pray some of the things we would say tonight that you burdened our heart about, Lord, may it strike them in the depths of their soul. Lord, I pray the Spirit of the Lord would do even a drawing work in this place tonight. May sinners be saved, converted unto you, and born again. Lord, all that you do for us, we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. In Nehemiah chapter number 3, we understand that it's focusing on the building of the perimeter wall of Jerusalem. Nehemiah has, I believe, divinely and sovereignly been sent back. Believe that Nehemiah is there in the will of God. God has burdened him for the great work that is going to be done throughout the entire book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter number 3, the beginning of the building begins to take place. They're going to build again that perimeter wall, and the wall was essential to their protection. But in that wall, as we read through Nehemiah chapter number 3, we read about gates that are placed within that wall that are essential to the access that the people of God will have into this city of the Lord. Jerusalem being the place where God promised to put his name. Jerusalem being the place that God had promised he would forever be, that even in their captivity, they would set their face toward and pray toward the city of Jerusalem. There would be a spiritual connection to the very presence of God. Sin has brought them into captivity. Sin has enslaved them. The enemy has come in and overtaken them. And now we find the people of God are being brought back out of that captivity to rebuild this wondrous city again. Nehemiah chapter number 3 gives us three gates that gave these people access into the very presence of God. Thus we get our series thought, the gateways to the presence of God. We believe that as we study these gates, they lead us on a journey of our own spiritual life. Beginning from the sheep gate, as we read tonight, the fish gate. Verse 6, the old gate. Verse 13, the valley gate. 14, the dung gate. 15, the gate of the fountain. Verse 26, the water gate. 28, the horse gate. 29, the east gate. And it ends there in verse number 31, known as the gate Mifkad. And each of these gates are stopping places along the wall, beginning at the northern end in the high place of the city, going down into the valley, going down through the lower parts, and then ascending back up where we begin. After beginning at the sheep gate, the work begins to move counterclockwise to the verses we read tonight, known as the fish gate. Verses 3 through 5 envision for us and preach to us and testify in the second gate of the matter of the fish gate. Its name, I think, is easily understood and given, for it was this gate, it was in this gate that fish that had been called out of the Mediterranean Sea and the Sea of Galilee would be brought into the city and placed upon the marketplace there just inside of the fish gate. The matter at hand, we see that the scene here surrounding the fish gate and the market within it would be a place that would be very busy. It'd be a very busy and a very public square filled with people, droves of people that are coming to buy a supply of fish and of meat and no doubt other things that would be placed out there. When we consider the fish gate, when we consider even as we just simply read it tonight, getting right to the point, the fish gate, I think, speaks to you and I, we'll see tonight, of the matter of soul winning, as no doubt our attention, when we read the fish gate, in my mind anyway, immediately goes to the statement and the command that Christ gave his words to those that would follow him. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Men like Andrew and Simon, men like James and John, who were men that by trade had been fishermen, had begun to be introduced to the Lord and had been saved. And after some time, the Lord called upon them to forsake their nets, follow him, that he would make them fishers of men. It's interesting, as we've been preaching through Mark 1, the connection, and not too many weeks gone by, when we preached on that very part of the Lord's earthly life, that the Lord said when he called them to follow him, he would make them fishers of men, and they immediately and straightway forsook their nets and followed the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord would walk up on a man by the name of Matthew and simply say, amen, to a tax collector, I don't know what knowledge he had, amen, of putting bait on a hook or throwing nets into the Sea of Galilee. But when Jesus saved him, Jesus said, follow me and I will make thee fishers of men. And so the Lord is interested, no matter in what our background is, that we would be interested in the souls of men. That we, my friend, would be interested in giving our life to the saving of somebody else's soul. I believe we seen clearly on last Sunday night, at least I seen it clear. I hope it was communicated to you and you seen it, but the sheep gate testified of our salvation, our own salvation in and through and by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. But the fish gate testifies of our part and our responsibility in the saving of others. And my study and much reading that we try to do in getting ready for these messages, Dr. Ironside said many, many years ago about the fish gate and some thoughts that he gave about the winning of souls. He said, it is a weighty truth, often I fear forgotten in this pushing, restless age, that the great business of those already saved should bring others to Christ. That's a great statement tonight, and I don't quote from a lot of other men, but when I read that, my heart said to what Dr. Ironside, amen, I believe that's right. It seems that the children of God are so busy in this day. It seems that we're comfortable in our own salvation, and we testify, we're thankful of what Jesus has done for us. And yet, my friend, we spend very little time, it seems like, fulfilling the responsibility that has been placed upon us as saved and the servants of God to be following Christ, being made fishers of men. And so with that idea and that symbolism found in the verses tonight, let me preach to you several thoughts this evening about the fish gate. The fish gate and had pictures for us the matters of fishing for men. Amen. There's some wondrous truths in this text that I want to give you tonight. Amen. Ain't you glad somebody went after you one day? Amen. Ain't you glad there's a church somewhere that got interested in your soul? Ain't you glad there's a child of God that wasn't just satisfied, amen, with him or her being saved and therefore and no more, amen, but got under a burden for you one day, amen, and preached to you and testified to you and prayed for your soul and eventually, amen, became the one that, amen, brought you into the fish gate. Amen, I thank God for every soul winner. I thank God for every man of God. Amen. This is not just the business of a preacher. Amen. This is the business of every born-again child of God. Amen. We're all in this thing. We're all to be engaged in this. Amen. And I know there's many ways to win souls. I understand there's many ways to fish for men. Amen. Find your niche and find your place and find the way God could use you. Amen. And get after it with all your might. Amen. There is a fish gate that we must enter in order to enjoy the presence of God. You say, preacher, me being a soul winner ain't got anything to do with the presence of God in my life. Oh, is that right? Amen. Do you remember what the Lord said in the last few verses in the gospel according to Matthew? Amen. He laid upon us the task of Brother Tim of going into all the world and preaching the gospel. Amen. He said, go ye into all nations and teach them. And that deals with giving them the gospel. Amen. Teach them about their sinful ways. Amen. Teach them about where they stand with God. Amen. He said, as they respond to that, amen, baptize them and then began to disciple them. Amen. And teach them all things to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And then that whole statement ends with the Lord making this statement. And lo, I am with you even unto the end of the world. And so don't tell me this doesn't have something to do, amen, with us entering into and enjoying the presence of Christ. Amen. If you want to know Him, if you want to walk with Him, amen, if you want to know the reality of His presence, amen, you got to go beyond you being saved and you've got to get interested, amen, in the saving of the souls of others. Amen. And so let me give you some things tonight. Amen. Let me give you some things tonight. Oh, I can't wait. I wish God break these vocal cords loose and let me scream a while. Amen. Watch this, the raising of the fish gate. The raising of the fish gate. Notice with me in our text again, the Bible said in verse number 3, but the fish gate did the sons of Hasenaiah build, who also laid the beams thereof and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. I'm interested tonight in this one that was responsible for this gate. It surrounded a man by the name of Hananiah. Hananiah is interesting to me as I began to study his name and try to find some truth that God would have for us in the fish gate. You say, preacher, what does Hananiah's name mean? Are you ready for this? Amen. It literally means to prick. Amen. To prick or to goad or to gouge. And I believe tonight it can easily be seen in him that he is, as it were, a type of the Holy Spirit of God. You say, why do you believe that, preacher? Because immediately, Brother Riley, upon reading the definition of his name, my mind went to the New Testament. Amen. Where right before Saul of Tarsus was saved, the Lord made this statement to him, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. In other words, what the Lord was speaking of, amen, was that conviction of sin that is essential in a sinner's conversion. Amen. Saul of Tarsus had been meditating upon. He had been, my friend, consenting unto, he had consented unto the death of that godly saint of God, Stephen, who with his last breath, amen, died as a soul winner, interested in the very ones who were stoning him to death. And somehow Saul of Tarsus couldn't get over what he said. Amen. Somehow the things he had said about the Lord Jesus, amen, had penetrated and pricked the heart of Saul of Tarsus. I don't know how long it had gone on. I don't know how many days or how many weeks had gone by. Amen. But when the Lord showed up and that light shone round about Saul of Tarsus, amen, the Lord said, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. In other words, there's something spiritual going on the inside of you. Amen. There's somebody who has stabbed you with and you can't get over it. Amen. Can I just say tonight, ain't you glad for the day the Spirit of God came back? Amen. And pricked you in your heart. Ain't you glad for the day stuck you with the gospel? Amen. The cross was raised up in your life. Amen. You realize what you were. And that, amen, that condemnation of sin, amen, began to wear in upon you. Amen. And pierce you to the very fiber of your being. Amen. You say, what do you call that, preacher? Amen. That's the convicting work of the Spirit of God. Amen. And there ain't no sinner ever going to get saved. Amen. Without conviction. Amen. There's a bunch of folk have said prayers. Amen. Mama's told them they're all right and daddy's patted them on their little head. Amen. They've said some little prayer along the way. Amen. I'm about to quit asking folk when'd you get saved. Amen. I want to know when'd you fall under old time Holy Ghost conviction. Amen. Tell me when the wind blew in your life. Amen. Tell me when the Holy Ghost put his finger on your heart. Amen. Tell me when the gospel pierced your soul. Amen. And the light did shine and you realized what you were. Amen. And then God did a saving work in your life by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Y'all shout some, it'll sound better. I know I don't sound good, but y'all can. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, Hananiah, amen, is a wonderful picture, amen, of the Spirit of God in the winning of souls. Amen. I wrote this down. There will be no real and effective soul winning without the work of the Holy Spirit. Amen. He is the soul winner. Amen. He is the great soul winner. He's been winning souls for a long, long time. Amen. He's been moving upon the waters. Amen. From the days of Genesis chapter number 1. Amen. And may I say, he's still moving today. Amen. In the masses of humanity. Amen. It is he, the Holy Spirit, who would have all men to be saved. Amen. And there is no salvation. Amen. Of the sinner's soul apart from the work, amen, that he does in condemning and convicting sinners of their sin. Amen. That's good preaching right there. Amen. I'm thankful for His ministry. Amen. You run folk through a program. Amen. You can give them the Romans Road, the Ephesians Expressway, and the Philippians Bypass. My friend, you can come up. Amen. With all sorts of things. And I'm not even condemning those things tonight. Amen. But if the Holy Spirit ain't at work, and the Holy Spirit ain't drawing, and the Holy Ghost ain't convicted, amen, I'm telling you tonight, amen, soul winning will not be effective without His work going on in that ministry. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me say this tonight. Watch this in this verse. This gate, along with the sheep gate, are the only two of the ten that are said to have been, Brother A.L., builded. Amen. The Bible said, we noted it last week in verse number 1, and they builded the sheep gate. Verse number 3 in our text said, but the fish gate did the sons of Hasenaiah build. Did y'all see that? Amen. Look down in verse number 6. Moreover, the old gate repaired. The Bible said in verse 13, the valley gate repaired. Verse 14, the dung gate repaired. And on and on and on through the text, these other gates are said to have been repaired. But when it came to the sheep gate, and when it came to the fish gate that is our attention tonight, amen, this gate was not repaired. Amen, it had to be builded. Amen, it was builded by the one who preached. It was builded by the one who convicts. It was builded by the one representing the work of the Holy Ghost. Amen, I wrote it down this way, Brother Tim. Amen, the building of soul winners and the saving of souls is impossible without the work of the Holy Spirit. Amen, we're not talking about repairing souls. Amen, we're not talking about reforming souls. We're not talking about turning a new leaf. Amen, we're not talking about running sinners through another program. Amen, we're talking about, amen, when it comes to soul winning, and it comes to, amen, to fishing for men and catching souls from the kingdom of Christ. Amen, I'm telling you tonight, amen, it goes beyond reformation. It goes beyond repairing. It goes beyond dressing up the outside. Amen, they got a problem on the inside, and there'll be nothing apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, and I'm telling you, all our labor, all our effort, amen, is not about repairing. It's about a Holy Ghost making us, amen, soul winners and building, amen, the saving of souls through our ministry. Amen, without Him, there is no work. Amen, I don't care, and you listen to me tonight. Amen, there's all sorts of religious organizations. Amen, that pride themselves on the fact. Amen, that they can lead a sinner who's never heard the gospel. Amen, from the time the red light is turned red before it turns green. And they can convince a sinner to say a prayer. Amen, and I'm telling you tonight. Amen, you make a sinner a twofold child of hell. Amen, if you leave the Holy Ghost out. Amen. We're not interested in washing up the outside. Amen. We're interested, amen, in what the Holy Ghost can do through them. Amen. Is that right? I feel like preaching. I feel like preaching. Amen. Brother Mag, the Holy Ghost, amen, he's not in the repairing business. He's in the building business. Amen. That's why this crowd, amen, this crowd, we've watched them in our own church. Amen, they'll walk the aisle, they'll get down here, and they'll say a little old prayer. Amen, what they're looking for is something to repair their life. Amen, they're looking for something, amen, that's only going to fix the mess they make. Amen, but I'm telling you, salvation's more than that. Amen, it's more than a band-aid. Amen, salvation's more than a cast on your broke heart. Amen, I'm talking about only the Holy Ghost can provide a sinner with a brand new life. Amen. If we're going to be soul winners, the Bible said, he that winneth souls is wise. He that winneth souls is wise. He that winneth souls is wise. You don't know how to do that tonight, and I don't know how to do that, but the Holy Ghost can teach us how to do that. The Holy Ghost can use us to do that. Amen. If we'll depend on Him and count on Him, amen, I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost can blow through us. Amen, He can move through us. Amen, Jesus, I'm bound to preach tonight. Amen, I may not get off this first point. Amen, Jesus said to Nicodemus, amen, the wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou canst not tell from whence it came, nor whither it goeth. Amen, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Amen, I'm telling you, the wind can blow, and the wind can reach sinners where they are. Amen, we don't listen, we don't carry a program, but in the power of God, we, my friend, go. Amen, with a burden for their soul. Amen, knowing the Holy Ghost wants him to be saved. Amen. I'm telling you, He's the one that does that work through us in a sinner's life. Amen. He's got to do a work in us so He can do a work in the sinner. Amen. If this church ever going to be a soul winning church again, and it ain't, it'll be the work of the Holy Ghost that does it in us.
Amen.
Amen. If we get right in the Holy Ghost, we'd be one.
Amen.
If you was right in the Holy Ghost, you'd be one. Amen. If I was right with the Holy Ghost, He'd have builded me already in the wood. Amen. We've got to be right with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And let Him build us in the soul winner He wants us to be. Amen. You say, I got standards. I don't care what list you live by. Amen. I'd probably give a better list than you got. No matter. Amen. If we're really right, the Holy Ghost, amen, He's doing a building work in our life in a lot of areas, and standards are important. I'm not throwing off on that. You know how I feel about that. Amen. I'll preach on that before it's over. Amen. I'm going to tell you something tonight. Amen. If we're right with the Holy Ghost, it's His desire to build that work in our life of being a soul winner. Amen. And you won't be one without Him. You won't be one without Him. Amen. Let me say this tonight. Amen. In this text, I'm trying to hurry. I'm on point number one. Amen. This is the second of the gates that are mentioned throughout the book of Nehemiah chapter number 3. But it is the first that is said to have locks and bars. The sheep gates, you remember we said last week, amen, every other gate has locks and bars, locks and bars. But the sheep gate had no locks and had no bars. And that testified anyone could come willingly. Amen, the way had been opened up. Amen, the lamb had been slain. Jesus' work had been done. And the shepherd was standing there welcoming the sheep into the fold. Amen, there were no locks and bars. Whosoever will, let him come. Amen, but when we come to the fish gate, amen, we learn another sign of this matter of salvation. And that is, my friend, that, amen, there was only one way, amen, to bring the fish in. Amen, the fish could only come in one way. Amen, there was only one way. Amen, only the porter could open the gate. Only the porter could open the gate. Only the porter could open the gate. Amen, there had to be someone there. Amen, Hananiah, amen, is there. I believe as the porter overseeing all of this, amen, he was the porter. He was the gatekeeper. Amen, that my friend made sure there was nobody trying to sneak in. Remember what Jesus said about, I'm the door. Amen, he said, the porter openeth. Amen, the porter openeth. Amen, and I'm telling you, it takes the Holy Ghost to open a sinner's heart. Amen. It takes one who has the keys. Amen. To unlock all of that and drop the bars. Amen. It takes the Holy Ghost to do that in a sinner's life. Amen. Are y'all listening to that? I believe this is where we need to be. Amen. I wrote this down. This is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Do you remember when He unlocked the way? Amen. Do you remember when you felt shut out? And the sheep gate testifies the other side of the coin. Amen. Whosoever will let him come. Amen. But oh, in the fish gate we learn that my friend, a sinner, cannot come unless the Holy Spirit opens the way. And in Calvinism, friend, amen, that's Bible doctrine. Amen. No man, Jesus said, can come on the Father. Amen. Except he be drawn. Amen. I'm telling you, I'm glad for the day and the Holy Spirit, my friend, turned the locks. I'm glad for the day and dropped the bars. I'm glad for the day. Amen. I got brought in to the fish gate. Amen. I'll give you a little side nugget here. Amen. That I seen. Amen. In this text, and I'll move on to point number two. Amen. Note here that once the fish had been caught and brought, amen, the locks and the bars testified that they were kept safe and secure because Hasaniah, amen, was the one keeping the locks and the bars. Amen. Ain't you glad when the Holy Ghost brought you in? Ain't you glad, my friend, when Christ rescued you? Amen. And a soul winner was at work in your life. Amen. You got called and you got brought and you got saved by the amazing grace of God. Ain't you glad you're saved once and for all? Amen. Saved for time and for eternity. Amen. Kept not by your power. Amen. Kept not by, amen, your mama's power and the preacher's power and the church's power. Kept by the power of God. He's the earnest of our inheritance. Amen. He's the one that'll see us safe to the other side. Amen. We're secure in Him. Amen. And we are secure in Him. Amen. We was out of fishing the other night. Amen. For an hour or two. Amen. And Sambo. Amen. He throwed his lure out there and he's a reeling it in. Amen. And a smallmouth hit that square bill. Amen. And Sam was trying to reel him in. Amen. And before Sam knew it, amen, that thing come up and jumped off. Amen. You know what we call that? Amen. Well, we call it a lot of things, but amen, we say he lost that one. He lost that one. He had him on, but he lost that one. And I remind you tonight, the Holy Ghost said he ain't ever lost any, my friend, he's ever called. Amen. They ain't been one jump off. Amen. They ain't one that's escaped. Amen. They ain't one that swam off. Thank God tonight. Amen. I'm glad the Holy Ghost is the one that keeps us. Amen. That's right. You say you are once saved, always saved, oh, from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. Only life Jesus ever gave was eternal life. Everlasting life. Amen. You say, I know somebody said a prayer and they went back out in the world. Amen. You think they lost their salvation? I don't think they lost it. They never had it to begin with. We're not of those who draw back unto perdition. Amen. I know we got a building full of visitors tonight. Amen. I hope this don't upset nobody. Amen. I'm telling you tonight. Amen. We're not of those who draw back unto perdition. We're of those who've been saved by the Holy Ghost, kept by the power of God. Amen. What God did for me when He saved me absolutely changed my ever-loving way. It changed my mind. It changed my heart. It changed my footsteps, my path. Amen. It changed everything about me. I ain't saying I'm perfect. I'm far from it. But thank God I ain't the man I used to be. Amen. I'm glad I've been saved. I'm glad I'm being kept by the Holy Ghost. He's locked me in, buddy. Locked me in. These bars the devil can't get through. Amen. That's right. Hallelujah. Amen. That's right. Glory to God, Brother Matt. What are you saying? I'm saying, amen. I'm saying I know the soul winner. I know the soul winner. He found me. He caught me. He brought me. And now I'm saved forever in His hands. Amen. I told you this morning, come back tonight, you'd like it. Amen. I'm glad I know the soul winner. the repairing or the raising of the fish gate. Number two, the repairing of the fish gate. Now notice here, amen, that not the repairing of it, but the repairing around it. What I want to draw your attention to, boy, I got to hurry. Amen, I won't be able to talk all week long. Notice the fish gate has connecting walls in need of being repaired. Now, it's going to be built, but there are walls that are attached to it, Brother A.L., that need some attention. Without this repairing going on around the fish gate would be useless. Hasanaya can build it. He can put locks and bars on it. My friend, if there ain't any repairing going on, this fish gate is not going to be effective. I believe in these verses, as we read them a moment ago, we'll make our way through them, is a list of names that testify of our own connection with the Holy Spirit. Say, preacher, you said the Holy Spirit is the soul winner. Yes, but that doesn't mean we don't have a connection to Him and His work. Do you remember what John the Beloved said there in the last chapter of the book of Revelation? Amen. He was speaking about the water of life. Amen, the fountain of the water of life. And here's what he said. He said, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. That is, the Holy Spirit and His church are connected together in this inviting work, in this soul winning effort. And my friend, we are connected to Him in His work. He is the soul winner. He is the one that builds salvation and the grace and the change in a sinner's life. My friend, we are connected to Him. Amen. And though He is building it, I think these names show us some areas of our own life and church that must be repaired as we cooperate with the Spirit of God in the winning of souls. Sinners are not the ones who need repaired. Saints are the ones who need repaired. This world needs the new birth. We need some things repaired. If we're going to be the soul winners and be connected to the Holy Spirit, there are some things that must be repaired. Let's see tonight. Amen. If we can get on something, amen, the Holy Ghost would cause you and I to go, oh, that's me right there. I need to work on that. Number one, amen, notice we find some matters about our affection. Our affection. You say, what do you mean? Notice with me. Amen. As we make our way down the wall from the fish gate, the Bible said in verse 4, and next unto them repaired Meremoth, the son of Uriah, the son of Koz. Notice with me the name Meremoth. And by the way, there's three men that are named and are working and a lineage and pedigree that is given of each of these men. A fourth group is mentioned in verse 5 of the Tekoites, and we'll study these four areas. Amen. Notice Meremoth simply means to rise. It means heights. And it gives implication of an upward momentum. An upward momentum. When I seen that, Brother Philip, when I seen that, my mind immediately went to what the Apostle Paul had commanded us in his writing to the book of the church at Colossae, when he said, set your affection on things that are where? Above. Things that are on high. Amen. Have your affection, have your attention, have your desire, have your spiritual life set in an upward momentum. Amen. Amen. Can I say tonight, amen, that those with lofty affections, amen, those whose affections are not on the things that are below, but are upon the things that are above, amen, holy and heavenly and lofty and spiritual affection, amen, all that is the child of God, amen, who will be interested in lost souls. Betty looked this way. It's impossible, amen, to be fulfilling, setting your affections on things above, not on things below, and not have an interest in reaching lost souls. Amen. You say, I love the Lord. I love the Lord. If you love the Lord, you love what the Lord loves, and the Lord loves sinners. We'll tell you who we love. We love us some us. Amen. And my friend, then this first man, amen, testifies of a repair that needs to be made. Amen. In our church and in so many churches and so many Christians' lives. And my friend, we would repair our affection. And we would arise from above the earth. And we would set our attention on the heights of glory. Amen. Then we would seek those things that are above. Amen. And in doing so, amen, cast our eye, amen, off of the things that are in this world. And I remind you, if your affection's on things below, amen, it will distract you from going after sinners. And you won't be interested in sinners. You won't be interested, my friend, in reaching the lost. Amen. But when our affection is turned back upward and our spiritual momentum, amen, begins to go upward, and all of a sudden the repair is made, and we're able to engage in that connection to the fish gate.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Notice Meremoth is called he goes back two generations and says, this man who is rising, this man with upward momentum, he is the son of Uriah, who is the son of Koz. Uriah speaks of the fire and the flame of the Lord. The cause speaks of being pricked by a thorn. Amen. Can I say, and we shouted on it a minute ago, I'm thankful for the day when I was lost and undone, and the Holy Ghost pricked my heart unto salvation. But you know what we need tonight as the children of God? Amen. We need the Holy Ghost to prick our heart and convict us again. Amen. Not about us being saved, dead, but about being connected to Him in the saving of others.
Amen.
And when He does that, you know what will be produced? You'll get the fire of God in your bosom about going after sinners. Amen. Amen. You know where that fire comes from? You know where that pricking comes from? It comes from that affection being on things above. Amen. It ain't no wonder the Holy Ghost, amen, can't get our attention tonight. Amen. It ain't no wonder we're so disjointed and disconnected from Him in the matter of winning souls. Amen. We're so eat up with Hollywood. We're so eat up with the wars and the troubles in this world. And I say, they ain't nothing going on in this world that is more important than the saving of souls. Amen. God help us. Amen. I'm not against having a good time. I'm not against enjoying some things in this life. Amen. In the realms of I'm not talking about sinfully carnal. Amen. The temporal realm in which we live. Amen. We ought to enjoy life. Amen. And we ought to be thrilled with it. Amen. But in everything we do, do not forget, amen, to repair our affection. Amen. So the fire of God for sinners can burn. Amen. We can carry that, amen, that conviction and that burden, amen, that the Holy Ghost longs to place in our life for sinners. That's pretty good preaching right there. You didn't see all that in them Hebrew names, did you? But it's there. Amen. Notice with me, not only in our affection, Boy, I feel like we may go into extra innings. Amen. Our affection, I'm feeling pretty good. The Lord heard my prayer a minute ago. I'm feeling like preaching. Amen. Our affection, notice our unity. Amen. Notice the name of the second man who is involved in repairing this connecting wall to the fish gate. He is a man that the Bible said next unto them repaired Meshulam. Amen. Meshulam. Meshulam, his name simply means allied. And it conveys the idea of the bonds of our brotherhood. He's a man that has some allies. He's a man that my friend has, amen, some unity with, amen, the whole overall work that is going on here in the days of Nehemiah. Amen. Oh, let me try to speed up if I can. Amen. Oh, can I say, amen, that unity among the church is absolutely essential to, amen, the winning of souls.
Amen.
We're in this thing together. We've got enough differences in personalities. We've got enough differences in opinions. We've got enough differences in backgrounds and interests and hobbies. Amen. To keep us divided until Jesus comes. But can I remind you one thing that should unite every blood-bought, born-again child of God is that there's other sinners out there, amen, that need a church to carry a burden, amen, for them and carry the message to them and be unified around those efforts. I like Meshulam. He doesn't seem to be a man at war with the brotherhood. Amen. Amen. He knows. Amen. He knows he must be allied. Amen. Let me give you something out of his pedigree. Amen. Again, we're given two lines back of his pedigree. He is known as the son of Berechiah and the son of Meshezabeel. Amen. Berechiah means to bend the knee to God.
Amen.
Amen. Meshezabeel. Amen. You do better than that and we'll let you say it for me. Amen. His name means delivered of God. Here's what I wrote down. Meshulam. Amen. He's allied. Amen. Can I say those that are saved, delivered of God, and are living in lordship, have bowed their knee to God, ought to be able to be unified in soul winning. They ought to be willing to get involved in the work.
Right.
They ought to be willing to find their niche and get after it with all their might.
Yes,
you know what's got some bent out of shape tonight? Amen. Or out of unity, out of the efforts of soul winning. Amen. Is that somewhere along the way. Amen. They've lost being allied. They've lost their allegiance. Amen. They've forgotten what brings us together, and all they can see are the things that divide us. Amen. I'm telling you tonight. Amen. You're not my enemy and I'm not your enemy. Amen. If you're saved and you're in the lordship of Jesus Christ, we have a brotherhood. We're in the same family. Amen. We're to be about the Father's business. Amen. We have things that can unify us. Amen. That needs to be repaired in these days. The repairing of our affection, the repairing of our unity. Amen. Reach over and grab your seatbelt and buckle her in and take the strap and get her real tight. We need to repair our righteousness. The third man is a man by the name of Zadok. Zadok's name means just, or literally to be right. When I studied his name, here's what I found. But Jeremy said it speaks of being morally right before God and men.
Amen. Amen.
There ain't much righteousness in our day.
Right.
Even among the household of faith.
Amen.
Even among those who claim the name of Christ. Amen. We're to be just. We're to be just in our dealings with men. We're to be right in our heart, in our life with God. Amen. There's a crowd running around today. Amen. That mocks this kind of preaching. Amen. But I'm telling you tonight. Amen. You better make sure, even as a child of God, that your life is right with God.
Right.
Amen. I want to keep on going. I want to follow the Holy Ghost. Amen. Just right. Is your heart right with God? Are you right with men? You right with those that are around you? Amen. Boy, ain't it amazing how righteous we want to make ourselves, justify ourselves. There's only one who can really proclaim us righteous if we're living right, and that is God. Amen. So I'm right. Would God say that tonight? I could get in a lot of things right here. You know I could rattle some cages right here. Are you right with God? Has there been a repairing of righteousness, right living? Are you morally right before God and in the eyes of men? We got a generation day. Ain't nobody my judge. Don't judge me. I'm going to tell you something. There is a principle in the Word of God. You are to be right with those that are around you. He's the son of Baana. Baana means in affliction. I thought about this. Zadok and Baana, this speaks of, listen now, it speaks of doing right, living right, being right, and doing so consistently, even when times are tough. Anybody can do right when things are easy. But if we're going to be soul winners, we've got to repair that part of our spiritual life. Amen. Whereby, amen, no matter come what may, amen, we're willing to do right. We're willing to do what God has called us to do. We're willing to be what God has saved us to be, and to be that consistently, and be it on the mountaintop and in the valley, on the days when the sun's shining, on the days when the wind's blowing and the rain is a-falling, and the floods are arising, and we feel like, amen, it's just getting more than we can bear. Amen. May I say, like Bob Jones of old said, if the stars fall, do right.
Amen.
Do right. Do right. I know days are rough. I know we're living in a day of compromise. I know we're living in a day of quitters. My friend, we must repair our righteousness, amen, and say no matter what anybody else does, no matter what way the currents flow in, I will live the life of purity and a life of holiness that God has saved me to live. That needs to be repaired in a lot of places and in a lot of ways. Is that right? Y'all know I ain't no mean preacher. I ain't trying to be mean. Y'all know that's right, don't you? That's right tonight.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Souls are dying and going to hell. And we want to act like we can live any old way we want and it don't matter. And we're missing out on the connection to the Holy Spirit we've got to have to be effective in our efforts.
Yes, sir.
People act like it don't matter what standards you live by. It does matter. It absolutely matters. It absolutely matters. Amen. I'm trying not to rattle cages. I really am. I'm going to tell you something. It absolutely matters how we live. Amen. Amen. And doing it right. Notice number four, the Tekoites. I'm almost done. Hang with me. It's coming to a close. And all God's people shouted glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Notice the repairing around the wall, our affection, our unity, our righteousness. But notice the repairing of our boldness. And next unto them, verse 5, the Tekoites repaired. Say, preacher, what is the Tekoites? Who are they? What do they speak of? Well, the name that is given to this group of people that have come to help, they're throwing in this part near the fish gate that is going to connect them to the ministry of Hashaniah. Their name Tekoites simply means a trumpet. Ain't that interesting? A trumpet, which is a lifting up of our voice without shame. I think Jesus hit on some things in his earthly life when he said this, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before the Father. If you are ashamed of me before men, I will be ashamed of you before the Father. Ain't it amazing when we get around the world how we can become so introverted and fearful of what they think about us? We're living in a day, oh God help me. We're living in a day, do you understand? We are living in a day where the voice of the wicked is so bold and so loud. But Tim, it is almost drowning in our ears. The issues of transgenderism, who'd ever thought our world had got so stupid?
Amen.
Stupid. Are you listening? Absolutely ever-loving, lost their minds.
Right.
And they're so bold about it. They're so vile about it. They lift up their voice to the point that even we as the children of God, when we hear them, sometimes we just kind of shirk back and we think, well, if I say something, I don't want to upset the apple cart. I don't want to kick the goat. Kick the goat, bless God. It's time Christians start kicking the goat. Amen. We can be bold about the truth. I'm not talking about being mean. I'm not talking about being hateful. I'm talking about boldly proclaiming the way of salvation. You're a child of God. Do you understand that? If you're saved, you're a child of the King. You do not have to bow your head in shame to any vile, perverted, amen, reprobate-minded individual, not one of them. You do not have to bow your head in shame to this ungodly world. You say, but preacher, if I get bold, they'll hate me. Jesus said they're supposed to hate you. That's our problem. We want the world to like us. World ain't supposed to like us. If you're connected to the Holy Ghost, amen, if you're connected to the Holy Ghost, amen, you're supposed to be bold and stand for what's right, amen, especially when it comes to Christ and the gospel.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Say, preacher, are you always bold as you should be? Not always. Amen. I feel the pressure just like you do. This world's wicked, buddy. This world's wicked. I'm telling you, sin's still sin.
That's right.
And they ain't 10,000 different ways to heaven.
Amen.
And we ain't all God's children.
Right.
That's right.
Somebody help me now.
Come on.
We've got the place. We're a bunch of Mickey Mouse Christians. We've got the place. We've been so pushed back, beat down. Amen. And there needs to be a repairing in our life, amen, when we're willing, amen, to be and to do what God has called us to be and do and stand for.
Amen.
God told Isaiah, and really is a prophecy of Christ, our example, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, show my people their sins.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Some do it on the street corners. Some do it on the doorsteps. Some do it at the workplace. Amen. But you listen to me. You're a child of the King. You're a Bible believer. You're blood bought. Heaven is your home.
Yes,
Jesus
sir.
Is your Lord. You sure. can stand boldly upon what that Bible says.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
We're to endure hardness as a good soldier. We're not to be cowards. But Tim talked this morning about fear.
Yes, sir.
You know what fear will do? Fear will rob you of your spiritual boldness that you're supposed to have.
Right.
Everybody listen, and I'm moving off. I got a third point. It'll take me 2 minutes. It'll take me 5 minutes, amen, to get done.
Good job, amen.
But Can I say this? If you're fearing the world and you're ashamed to speak for the Lord Jesus Christ, really what you're doing, you are disconnecting yourself from the work of the Holy Spirit in the matter of soul winning. Believe God's a helping us, ain't He? Y'all believe that? I feel it. I feel it working. The fish gate. We've seen the raising of the fish gate. We see the repairing around the fish gate. Here's something sad in verse number 5. I call it the refusal at the fish gate. Notice how verse number 5 ends. But their nobles put not their necks to the work of their Lord. Ain't that sad? Ain't that sad with so much going on, so much it needed repaired, so much it needed to be connected back to that very, very important gate that really, really as the fish were going to be brought in was going to sustain the people of God. Everybody look this way. You know what soul winning does? It sustains the work of God.
Amen.
Amen. It's what soul winning does. Amen. It breathes new life. It gives us life to see sinners called and brought and saved by the grace of Jesus.
Amen.
And on that day, Brother Jack, when they got ready to start repairing those things, there was some nobles that sat over in the corner and milked their chin. Looked at it and talked about it in skeptical tones. I just don't know about all this. Well, you got to know about it. People are dying and going to hell.
Right.
And your Lord and Savior, you said saved, you told you to go out in highways and hedges and compel
Amen.
Them to come in.
Right.
Have you done that? Are you a noble? You're too good for that. Tell you why them nobles didn't. Oh, that kind of work, that was beneath them. And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of folk that God could use their life, connect them to the Holy Ghost, and use us to win souls, but we think we're too good for that kind of work.
Amen.
You're right,
John.
Yes, sir. You're right.
Amen. Don't be a noble. Let me put it this way. Don't be a shirker. I don't even know if that's a word. That crowd in the end of verse number 5, you know what they are? They're shirkers. Don't be a shirker. Be a worker.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Oh, that's right. These are they. There were some who were brought to the fish gate. They saw the repairs and cooperative work that needed to be done and yet left their necks out of the work. They had other things to do. They had other things that somehow they convinced themselves was more important than the work of their Lord. You know what? Everybody look this way. You know what soul winning is? It is the work of our Lord. And you are not right with God if you do not put your neck into the work of our Lord. Amen. Watch this. Watch this. This ain't deep. They were counted nobles. Somehow, again, maybe thought this was beneath them. But here's the fact of the matter. Their refusal to put their neck to the work of their Lord put a greater burden on others to get the job done. Somebody's got to do it. Somebody's got to get engaged in it. Amen. I told y'all last week, Sheepgate, buddy, it's woo, hallelujah, glory to God. We've had a little bit of that tonight. Buddy, this thing ends at the fish gate saying there was some people who should have been, could have been, somehow refused to do the work of their Lord. I don't want to be that. I don't want to be that. I don't want to be that. Can I get real honest with us with Calvary Baptist Tabernacle? We've been through a lot in the last 2 years. Been through a lot. It's distracted us. A lot of things in 2 years, let's be honest, need repaired. Get us connected back to Holy Ghost in this matter. Amen. You surely wouldn't sit here tonight and say, I refuse to do that. I refuse. This is the lifeline of the work of God. This is how the church eats. This is what puts food on the table. Are y'all listening? Does that make sense? Somebody got to go to the Sea of Galilee, get some fishes and bring them in so the people can eat. Soul winning's our lifeline. It's all prayer. You know what I preach about prayer. I preached on prayer this morning. I'm not discounting prayer. Well, holiness, I just preached on living holy. You understand? I'm telling you, if you think you're going to not put your neck to this work and God bless His church, buddy, I'm telling you, that is our connection to the great work the Holy Spirit has been left in this world to do. People say, well, you know, that's the Holy Ghost job. Yeah, but the way He does that is through His people.
That's right,
man. We ain't Calvinists.
Amen.
And we say amen, and a bunch of folk just say amen. I'm not talking about anybody. I'm just telling you, a lot of times, even myself, I say amen, I ain't no Calvinist. But we act like one.
Amen.
We don't believe it doctrinally, but we practice it practically. Have you tried to win anybody lately? Have you let the Spirit of God lead you to somebody? I know this world's in a mess, church. I know they are. Amen. I'm done. I'm just trying to find a place to stop. I've done. I was talking with Brother Mark going down the road Friday. He's talking about just the day we live in. And sometimes we say, and I believe there's a measure of truth in it. You know, sinners are just more hard than they've ever been.
They are.
And don't get mad at me now, but they're so strung out on pills and dope and liquor more than any other generation has ever been. And you try to talk to them, their brain cells are so fried, you can't even hold their attention for 5 minutes to give them the gospel.
Yes, sir.
That don't mean we shouldn't be trying.
That's right.
Amen. Remark, that don't mean we shouldn't be trying.
That's right.
I talked with a young man, not this last week, the week before last, I run into him, coming out of the Ace Hardware store up here, and I'm telling you, I went to start trying to talk to him about the Lord, and he just, the wheel was spinning, but the hamster was dead. It broke my heart because I preached to that young man. Watched him, Brother L., sit in the back of this church and weep and cry and raise his hand and say, pray for me, I'm lost. He's got so steeped in sin, the work is going to be great to rescue him. I don't even know if it can be done. I know this, if it's going to be done, it's going to take the connection in my life to the Holy Ghost to reach him where he is. We need that more than the church has ever needed that. Are you listening? They had it in Acts chapter number 2. They were so filled with the Holy Ghost, connected to him. They were right with him and they were doing what he had sent them, amen, to do in this world. We've got a job to do, church. Surely we would not sit here tonight and think we're so noble that we can't put our necks into the yoke and get about the work of the Lord. Amen. I'm done. I preached it. Dear Lord, have mercy. Dear Lord, do y'all believe I just preached that long? I can't believe that. I was up here praying while y'all was singing, saying, dear God, I don't know if I can go 20 minutes tonight. God's tried to help us. God's tried to help us. I know it's been long. I've been trying to get you out pretty early on the evening services, but I think the Lord sent us a message, the fish gate. We're just going to pray and dismiss, send you home thinking about it. Amen. Let's get after it. Let's get after it in the days that are to come. All right? Amen. All right, let's stand together.